Call the meeting back to order from our recess. And our next item of business will be 5B, employee policy updates, military hardship, rates of pay, witness duty, and Lindsay will be giving us that report.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Matt and I have been working on some policy updates, as you saw last week or 2 weeks ago. So we have four recommended updates to policies. They're pretty minor. But the first one is our witness duty employee policy. So the proposed change for that policy is that if an employee is subpoenaed for a witness duty, then and they do not have any available time to use to replace their absence from work, then they may apply for a leave of absence. The previous language said they may be considered unexcused absence and they may be subject to discipline. So we just want that option to show that, you know, they can apply for a leave of absence, especially when it's a legal proceeding, if that makes more sense.
Makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. The next policy is a payroll policy. It's under the subheading rates of pay. So this is something that was approved as part of the compensation study that was effective July 1st of 2023, and we're just updating the language. So basically it says that staff may hire employees up to step 4 of the scale, and anything higher than that would go to the Board of Commissioners for consideration. And it, you know, that depends on economic conditions, how hard the position is to fill, the qualities and qualifications of the candidate. So there are factors that go into that. And then also there's a paragraph about a no voter approved budget. We would like to just take that whole thing out. Basically, you know, it doesn't apply because we are legally required to have an adopted budget by 7-1, so it wouldn't make sense that we would freeze salary increases if we did not have a budget, because technically we wouldn't be authorized to spend any money at all anyways. So it's just kind of irrelevant. And we did confer with Kevin from Finance on that as well. The next policy is the hardship.
So before, on that one, mm-hmm. and it wasn't related to the changes proposed, but under payday, and I'm probably wrong, but I thought that instead of Thursday, it was moved to Friday earlier this year. Is that right, or am I mistaken?
No, that is correct, but
so
does this one say
Thursday?
Oh, okay. Yeah, thank you for pointing that out.
So we're changing it, let's go ahead and change Thursday to Friday.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for pointing that out. That actually was changed in this. I pulled this straight out of the handbook, so the handbook hadn't been updated yet. So thank you for catching that. And then also with the hardship leave policy, so we've had, it's kind of been an interesting dynamic with the paid leave organ benefits. So technically now if somebody's on paid leave organ, they could be getting close to 100% of their paid leave. And if they run out of PTO at the county, then they could ask for hardship leave donations. So basically they could get full pay from hardship leave donations from the county and full pay or close to full pay from paid leave organ. So what we would like to propose on this policy is that if they have exhausted all of their protected leave and their paid leave benefits, then if they wanted to, you know, potentially apply for an extension of a leave of absence, then they could potentially apply for hardship leave donations. Are there any questions on that?
No.
Okay. And then the fourth policy recommended update is military leave. So this one was driven by a House bill, House Bill 2865, which is effective January 1 of 2024. And basically there's some technical language about loss of pay, but the majority of it is that it's replacing 15 days of paid leave a year to up to 21. And that's at replacement value. So if an employee, they're scheduled Monday through Thursday for work at the county, and they get called to weekend duty at the National Guard, then we obviously wouldn't pay that because it's not replacing their work, regular scheduled work day. It's only at replacement value. But it's increasing that benefit to up to 21 days a year. Okay, any questions on those policies? And I believe on the cover sheet, I did recommend the military leave policy to be effective January 1, because that's when the House bill goes into effect. But the other three employee policies I recommended to be effective today.
So if there's anything from anybody, then I'll make a motion to approve the recommended military policy effective January 1, 2024 as presented in the packet.
I'll second that.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried.
Chair, just wanted to make a comment. Really appreciate Lindsay's efforts on keeping us up to date on this. She really stays on top of this, and I never have to say, hey, what's happening on the state to do that. So appreciate all her efforts and her role as our HR director. And actually, in working through like the paid leave organ issue has been just a moving target. And so I appreciate some of the language that she's presented to you to be flexible and keep us in the clear on those things. So appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
I'll make a motion to approve the recommended hardship rates of pay and witness duty policies effective December 20, 2023.
So on that one, I would recommend that we make a change or maybe approve the hardship and witness duties as presented, and then the rates of pay with the correction to the payday as a separate motion, maybe.
Absolutely.
Is it through that into a separate motion? It sounds like to change the
to have two separate motions there. To
okay, so I will strike the first motion.
Wait a minute, hold it. Could you read the motion?
Or do we? It'll die for a lack of a second. How's that?
Okay.
And then I'll make a new motion.
Just strike it. Okay.
Thanks. How's that work?
Okay.
I will move to approve the recommended hardship and witness duty policies effective December 20th, 2023, as presented in the board packet.
I'll second that.
We'll move to second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carried.
So now I will make a motion to approve the rates of pay as presented with the addition of changing the payday from Thursday to Friday.
And I will second that.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Further discussion?
I was already saying it's perfect. Sorry, that's all I said. Sorry.
When the lawyer looks at you,
I also says like it's perfect. Well,
okay. Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Well, motion carried. All opposed? Motion carried. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for your flexibility on that.
Yes. Me too. Okay. Next up, we're on 5C, Compensation Board Appointment Requests, and that's Lindsay also.
Yeah, thank you. So we're gearing up for our Compensation Board meeting for 2024, and we had three board members who their term expired on December 31st of 2023, or will expire, I guess. We had to apply for reappointment after we opened it up the vacancies. And those two that reapplied are Marie Kane from Umatilla Electric Co-op and Debbie Rady from Boardman Foods. They have both served several terms on the compensation board, and they are, well, I guess this would be their second term. And they are both great additions. They're very knowledgeable in their fields, and I've enjoyed having them on the board. And so I would like to recommend to retain them and move to reappoint. We still have one more vacancy that I have not had any interested candidates for, and so at this point I would like to move forward with the Compensation Board because the ORS says that it will consist of 3 to 5 members. So with these two reappointments, we'd still have 4, but I will keep that vacancy open in case we get any interested candidates in the next month or so.
I noticed in the ORS it just says 3 to 5. It doesn't specify. They can all be at large or all from one area or whatever. There's nothing mm-hmm. further. Okay.
Yeah. Everyone on the Compensation Board, though, does have either a financial or a HR personnel background.
Right. But they, oh, they, yeah, they don't even have to live in Warren County.
No.
Okay. Okay. I hear a motion to reappoint the two to the Compensation Board.
I'll move to reappoint Marie King and Debbie Rady to the Compensation Board for 4-year terms.
Second.
Moved and seconded to reappoint Marie King and Debbie Rady to the Compensation Board for a 4-year term. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, our next item of business is a Planning Commission appointment request, and that's Tama.
Good morning, Chair Sykes, Commissioners. Hopefully this is simple. We have 2 Planning Commission members with a lot of experience, and they have agreed to be reappointed, and that's Stacy Ekstrom, who currently is the Planning Commission Chair, and Brian Thompson, who is a member. One member, Wayne Seitz, did not want to be reappointed, something about wanting to spend time with grandchildren. And so we posted legal notices both in the Heppner Gazette and the East Oregonian and I believe the North Morrill Times. We had one letter of interest, and that was from Tripp Finch, a Heppner resident. So I would recommend that you approve all of those.
Is Tripp included in the motion?
Yes.
Okay. I can say that I've served on the City Planning Commission with Tripp, and he does a very good job. He's a good member of the community, very, very smart. So that's my pitch for that. Okay. Do I hear a motion to...
Well, move to reappoint Stacy Ekstrom, Brian Thompson, to serve another 4-year term on the Planning Commission, appoint Tripp Finch to serve the at-large position on the Planning Commission.
I'll second.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Okay, thanks, Tom. Mm-hmm. And then, you're up next with our request for proposal approval for the Morrill County, Minnesota County drinking water investigation. So this is a big deal, so I'm looking forward to your report.
Right? Thank you, Chair and Commissioners. I agree it's a big deal. Actually, Morrill County, both Planning Department, Public Health, and other entities are actively involved in moving the dial, if you will, on nitrate issues. And this is the largest effort that the Planning Department is involved in. And you'll recall earlier this year, you authorized the myself and Kevin Entz to submit an application to the Environmental Protection Agency to secure funding to do for a project that looks at mid and long-term solutions or alternatives to the on-site drinking water wells for those people who are not connected to a municipal system or a public system in Morrill County and in Umatilla County. And after several months, that grant was accepted and awarded by the EPA. And this is the next step. So since Commissioner Drago and I have been in, I don't know, a handful of meetings together with Umatilla County. Kevin Entz has been there. Robin has been there. Our grant writer of record, Nick Ducote, who's also helping with this procurement aspect of the EPA grant, to come up with a work plan and language and a process to finally award the contract. So in front of you today is a request to authorize that staff post the RFP on the website. And I'm happy to answer any questions about either the process or the substance of the application. I did want to emphasize, though, that Morrill County is the fiscal agent, so the congressional drug spending request that was submitted about a year and a half ago was submitted under the Morrill County federal account, so the fiscal agent award is the county, but certainly it's a bi-county project, and we've spent a lot of time with our colleagues in Umatilla County.
I guess my questions kind of encompass that, the relationship between Umatilla and Morrill County on this. No, I mean, I read through the whole thing, but I can't remember, I don't see if I it's in here, I think, the RFP proposed agreement, maybe? Anyway, this is basically between Morrill County and the contractor, correct? Umatilla County is not a legal entity in this agreement, correct?
The contract will be between Morrill County and the contractor.
Right,
yes.
I just wanted to make
yes,
sure. Since
yes.
We're putting our name on, I don't want to
absolutely.
Know.
Absolutely. It's a good question.
Yeah, yeah. And so if there's problems with the contract, that's going to be, no, I'm not saying there is going to be, you know, I just kind of look down the road and say, okay, know what we're, what our responsibility is in this. We're the one that's going to be handling any kind of issues, you know, right?
Yes.
Handing
yes.
out certificates of good work, too.
Yeah, maybe,
whatever.
Maybe, that would be ideal.
I don't want to be all negative.
That's right.
I just want to say, if there is some kind of issue, we're the, more kind of, yeah, okay. Now, do you have a, have you got an agreement with Umatilla County? Is there an IGA on how all this is going to be handled, or is it just verbal so far? Or what's the deal on that?
Another excellent question. Right now, it's verbal, but we've all recognized, both legal and admin and finance and myself, that a formal agreement is the right protocol. And so Administrator Jensen is working on that with Umatilla County. And we think if you look on page 5 of the RFP and the schedule of events, likely sometime in early March, once the scoring committee and the selection committee have completed their work and we have a recommendation, we will have a joint Umatilla-Morrill County meeting, and that will include the IGA. It will include naming the steering committee, both from both counties, also some folks from OSU whose background is much more scientific than the rest of ours here. And then we'll also lay out all the fiduciary obligations in that agreement. We also think during that meeting, we're brainstorming this, right? So Matt, please chime in when I've said too much. But we also think that would be an opportunity to celebrate the progress. I think the two counties have been working together on this. We're not going to change the status of nitrates, but this is a pretty heavy lift for a local government to undertake really much more of an academic exercise than we might otherwise undertake, looking at studying the issue a little bit closer, looking for midterm and long-term solutions. And that also at that meeting, as is standard, take some public comments on the scope of work. It's going to take quite a bit of time between when we have a finalist narrowed down and to refine the scope of work, because if you read the scope of work, as you said you have, there's a lot of work to do to cover almost 4,000 wells, and we don't think we'll probably get everybody tested. So, and again, it's the well that we're testing. The focus of this is different than the ongoing work of the Oregon Health Authority.
Chair Sykes.
Yes.
I appreciate Tamara's diplomatic way of saying Matt's in charge of this and he's a little bit behind the ball. But we are
anything from you, so you
go. We are working with, or we will be working with Umatilla County. We have our contact there, and like as she reaffirmed, we fully anticipate having that IGA in place before we make any award on this area. So in that first March time frame. So
you know this. reading through this, to me, it seems like we're making really good progress here. I mean, you know, we're going into the stage of, okay, how are we gonna fix this, you know? And so it's encouraging to see, to me, that this is where we're at, you know. It sounds like you're going to separate facts from fiction, you know.
For sure.
Right? Let the experts say, okay, you know, this is a real deal, and this is the wells, and this is, you know, and then start working on solutions. Is that fair to say?
That's really good.
That's what this is going to do.
You bet.
And when the Merkley Wyden, they always want to make sure we say that, grant, that was the purpose, wasn't it? To get us to where we're at now, correct?
That's exactly right, yep. It just takes a long time.
It does. I know, and that's why it's so good to see this, because mm-hmm. it seems like, you know, people go, okay, where are we? You know, what's going on? We're going on, you know. I just want to make sure I'm clear on where I think we're at by looking at this. So.
Yeah.
And just if I can step in. So I think this is going to help us go forward in more funding through the federal government mm-hmm. to get to the solutions that need to be done.
That's what I always say.
Right? So I think this mm-hmm. is a progress in the direction of where we want to go.
Well, the two, both Merkley and Wyden, when they're here, I've asked them in those meetings, are you guys ready to help us with the real heavy lifting? And they mm-hmm. both said, yes, we're mm-hmm. with you. We're ready mm-hmm. to go, you know. So
excellent.
This will give them the roadmap, correct?
That's correct. Okay. Yeah, and if you recall, we put in a second congressional direct spending earlier this year, and Jessica Keyes from Senator Merkley's office just sent an email a week or so ago and said, might not know for sure until after the session, but that would be the next phase of this work. And Umatilla County did not want to partner with us on the next phase for this, and that's okay. It's complicated at best to have a bi-county project with such a vast area, and they'll have other work that they pursue once this is done. We actually expect that this is going to take a couple of years to wrap this up. So we're all in, and I need to shout out to some, in addition to Commissioner Drago, I've asked people in my office, particularly Stephen Resix, to go a heavy lift, extra mile. We've been working with state agencies to collect data. I know Commissioner sat in on more of those. They're somewhat tedious meeting. Great agency folks. We have a lot of data that we can share, and I think I've said this before. The state doesn't have a good data set, and we're trying to collect all of the data that they have about water quality, water quantity, locations of wells, and we've been trying to do that so that when we hand this over to a consultant, we've at least set the ground stage. Probably next month or maybe early February, we'll have in front of you an intergovernmental agreement so that Morrow County can accept data from the Oregon Health Authority. That's old hat to Robin. Having to have a formal agreement to share data is different because I work in the natural resource world where everything's public information. But we're hoping that those agreements will be in place so that when the contractor's ready to go, they're not starting from scratch. We have a meeting Friday with OHA also about that specific topic.
And I'd like to make a shout out to Stephen too. And if you guys have the chance, you should stop by and visit with Stephen. He can show you some of the work he's done. He's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, my time on the Planning Commission, I got to see a lot of the work that he did.
It's amazing.
This is not data tech level work. This is really GIS analyst complicated kind of work where we're building layers so we can understand not just an address where somebody had collected a sample, but match it up with all those maps that the two of you have spent time on the Planning Commission know, and we can do that next level of analysis.
Now, where does that, you know, I didn't go back and read our agreement with, who's our current water consultant or technician?
Oh, CIS? Sure.
Is this winding down their role here? Are they integrated into this, or what's the deal with them?
No, as a matter of fact, we've removed them from this work. They helped us with the EPA grant because, again, it was really technical, geotech kind of analysis. We expect them to submit a proposal for this. Yeah, so we've made a buffer. Nick Ducote, our grant writer, and helping navigate this process. He can speak to that. In the past few weeks, I've had discussions with three different firms who are interested in it. And then once you authorize that we post it, then we don't have those one-on-one conversations. We wait until we have the pre-proposal meeting on January 4th. So, and to more directly answer your question, apologies, Chair Sykes, the work of the County Water Advisory Committee will continue. I have shared with the firms who are interested in submitting a proposal the four briefing papers that were presented to you this summer. I think there's a lot of information, particularly in two of the papers, the water quality paper and then the paper on the drinking water provision. It gives a really robust background for an engineering and a water planning firm that might not otherwise have information. So our contract with GSI takes us to the end of this year. The next Water Advisory Committee meeting is January 8th on a Monday, 8th or 9th on a Monday. So different, but sort of related. We're doing a lot of water stuff.
So when I read through this proposal, I didn't see something, and it's probably in there. I know we talked a lot about when they go out to do these sampling again, that they would be collecting more well information, depth and casing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So will that be part of what this contractor does, or?
Yes.
That's kind of the scope, yes.
Yep.
Okay.
It's in it's in the task. The very first task requires what we refer to as a QAP, the Quality Assurance Project mm-hmm. Plan. So the protocol is much more academic than just saying, let me have a sample of your water. And that's the protocol that EPA is requiring. So the firms bidding on this will have to demonstrate that they have experience with the QAP. We are also hoping that, that doesn't mean that the data that's been collected is not useful, because it is indeed useful. It's helped us identify some hotspots, some outliers.
And those are the areas where you go get more information.
Absolutely. Yes. Yep.
And yeah. If you're sampling at different time of year, see if it varies. So.
That's right.
Well, if it ends up, like it's very well said in here, multiple solutions in multiple areas. I say multiple, but there's not a one solution for the whole one. Yeah. So well depth and well typed is a very important information.
Yep.
This seems like a pretty company that they're really going to have to know what they're doing. They'll be staffed up pretty good. Yeah, okay.
Yep. And then the outreach component is, I've talked to several different firms, and I think some of them might merge and partner on a proposal, because there's the scientific piece, there's the infrastructure engineering piece, there's also the outreach piece. Engineering firms don't tend to do that outreach
work. No,
they don't
do that well.
They're trying to figure out how to go together. And then Robin's going to report a little bit later. Internally, we're trying to figure out how we coordinate all this, because she has this new rural public health outreach coordinator. So this will be in addition to that, but we don't want to reinvent the wheel. So where we can have synergies and combine efforts, we'll do that. We haven't got that part figured out yet, though.
Do you think there's going to be financial estimates that go along with this on what it would take to, or are they just going to go, I mean, because you could give a solution that would be astronomically expensive, I don't want to give any examples, but, so.
One of the goals is to get a cost analysis so that mm-hmm. when we go from our next round of funding, that
yeah.
we actually, because you gotta have you can't just say give me money.
Yeah,
you gotta have that.
So, or give me mm-hmm. a huge amount of money.
So that's kind of the purpose of this, is so we can move forward with our next grant and have the available information and the revenue it's going to take. So,
yeah, and specifically, it's in Task 7, the action plan. How deep it is, the preliminary engineering report will document preliminary engineering design and cost estimates, permitting and legal and administrative requirements for each drinking water service project. So we'll have multiple in Morrow County. We'll have lots of them in Umatilla County as well.
Yeah, questions of Tamara?
And Justin has given his review of the RFP. Yeah.
We're very interested in the contract aspect to what's done. That'll be the one that we'll really deep delve into for sure.
Yeah.
Looks okay to you, Dale.
Yeah, the RFP does, yep. We're going to work on the contract stuff and see the responses and go through that process when they come in.
Yeah, we have a lot of disclaimers in here, Chair. So it's a big grant application. I think the largest one I've ever administered. So we want to make sure we have, and maybe we don't select any of the folks who submit a proposal. So that we have that out built into the RFP as well.
I wonder how many, just out of curiosity, how many companies there are in the Pacific Northwest or in the West that can handle a project like this. Is there lots of them? Or I have no idea.
It was just no. We have, like I just said to Commissioner, I know of three. Do you know more than three, Nick, that are interested in it?
Nick.
Oh, where's Nick?
Upper right.
Yeah, Nick Ticone. Oh, four, seven?
Nick. No, well, I was going to say three to four. Sorry. Thanks
oh,
for
three to
me.
Four. Cool. Okay.
Half a dozen at best, but I expect three.
Yeah. Do I sense an interest in sitting on the scoring or selection committee?
We got it right here.
On that point,
I just like to listen in, not be part of the selection.
It is. It's intellectually pretty challenging, I would say. Mm-hmm. Maybe not so much for you. But we also have invited Todd Jarvis from OSU Institute for Water and Watershed. He teaches water policy at OSU. He's going to be on the scoring committee. And then there's another gentleman who, through Todd Jarvis, introduced to the whole bi-county group that's been meeting, who ran a very similar project in Utah about 5 years ago and is retired. He said he'll come out of retirement to help us with the scoring and the review. So we've got a lot of hands-on. And I'm hoping after tomorrow we have somebody from OHA as well on this.
So I'll move to authorize staff to post the RFP on county website and circulate various professional publications as well as directly mail to firms who have expressed interest.
I'll second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Okay, next up is our new position request, Assistant County Administrator, and our current administrator.
Yes, Board of Commissioners, this is a request based off of discussions that we had 2 weeks ago during work session. This is asking for a department level or department head level addition to the county, and I do not make this lightly. And we've heard from some of the public comment today about questioning why that's a requirement. One of the things that as I came on board is seeing how extremely lean and horizontal our organization was. You might say, well, we've only got 14,000 residents, but our budget doesn't reflect that. We have a lot of different things going on. And one of the things that we need to make sure that we account for is continuation of government. We're a rural government, and that's hard to, sometimes recruit and retain. And if you get someone going and taking care, and they get headhunted out to another thing, then we're back to the frontline employees taking care of things. With this one, with the assistant county administrator, this one, their specific duties would be, of course, to assist me on strategic projects. But then they would be taking over and managing several departments that have kind of been orphaned and haven't had a good managerial direction. And while I'm trying to do that, there's all the strategic sides, ASAs, circuit court kind of things that we need to draw attention to. So they're still getting neglected. Those five groups would be the transit, the fair, veteran services, our parks, and facilities. If you did notice on the org chart, 2 weeks ago we talked about tourism, this org chart reflects employees or employed groups, and so tourism right now is under a contract area. We have added that language based on recommendations by the commission, and so this the assistant county administrator would be over tourism efforts as well. As we look at this, they would also be taking a lead on our social media. Talked a little bit about that. That's a crucial component on getting information out, and that's another thing that our county has sorely lacked on, getting that information out, whether it's on our website, social media, and that's something that we're looking to double our efforts to make sure that residents at least have an opportunity to hear what the county's voice is, not necessarily they have to agree with it, but what the directions are made for on this. As I look at this, we did go with kind of a generalist approach on this. Some of the ideas were to have it as a community services director, whatnot. But since we haven't fleshed out those kind of things, it best to be a generalist approach with the assistant county administrator title on there. I do want to refute one public comment. There's like, hey, they've got X amount of commissioners in Umatilla County, and they do fine. They also have 14 departments. We have 6 currently. And they have administrative services that help support all those, even though they don't have an administrator in that area. This one, while it's a lot of people say assistant county administrator, why does Matt need my girl or my boy Friday to assist? It is more of a department level area, and that I will be directing the work among our department heads based on what the commission directs. And one thing I do appreciate is allowing us to get down into the operations and maintenance side of the county, while you as the commissioners, you might only meet in this meeting twice a month, but I realize how many other meetings you represent the county on and represent the residents on, and allow staff to take care of the operations and maintenance kind of things. So with this, I think this is a good direction to go. The fiscal impact that we're planning on with this is we would no longer pursue a full-time surveyor and look to continue with a contracted surveyor. We don't have very essential services, but not really something for full-time, and we would adjust some of that funding over to supplement this, which would mean our fiscal ask is less than $60,000 to fund this this position with, if we can reallocate those monies for the full-time surveyor. Just to let you know, the budget did have a full-time surveyor and a you know, an appropriate amount for the count or for the contracted services. So we're not shirking on the surveyor actions at this point. So we're hoping that you could approve this, that we could get this posted right after the new year, and see if we can get this in place to help these important roles get the attention they need, and to buoy up some of the other county projects and initiatives that we're looking to roll out. So,
I would like to bring up one thing. I think, I don't know how many years ago, maybe it was 4 years, maybe you remember, there was a position created by the former commissioners for a community development post that was created and funded, and a person was hired. Now, that person was eventually let go. That position is still budgeted for. Is that correct?
So, in this year's budget, there is a like a 0.5 FTE allocation for community development. That money is actually funding our planning director, park planning, park community development. Our intention is in the budget or the supplemental budget that we would be looking to fund this one, just correcting that and putting it all in the planning department.
And I talked to you earlier about, is there a way that we can eliminate that position?
Yes.
Because I see some of these duties as what was in that one.
Yes.
I would like to see that, I mean, somewhere, not just, stop the funding of it, but just actually eliminate the position. I don't know how
to feel the title from an org chart,
yes,
or anything.
Yeah, just take it off the book so,
yeah,
you know, it's just so gone. So
yeah.
I would like to see that, because that's a position that was created previously.
And if you notice,
funded, hired, and all that good stuff.
Yes, sir. Chair, if you notice on the top level summary, the current and proposed, which shows kind of our department level and management level positions, that community development director is not on there. not showing on there.
I noticed that, but I just want to reiterate.
And we will clean that up, whether it's with the supplemental budget or during the fiscal year 25 budget process.
Okay. All right.
Well, and I think it's great to point out that, you know, I've been a proponent of, you know, having an assistant administrator. Partially, Dave said, is, you know, there had been this position out there in the etherland of the County of Community Development, and a lot of the duties there I thought were better underneath the administrator or an assistant administrator. And then also, and you put it in there, and your proposal here is that it makes it clear is that there's a succession plan, that if you leave for some reason, you get hit by the proverbial bus, there is the person to take over the day-to-day operations if the board decides to hire the next administrator. The county lived through 8 months or more of not having an administrator, and I don't want the county to have to do that again. So that, to me, is there's the logical person that steps in and takes over the day-to-day operations if something were to happen to you. So I think it's important to have that position there.
Cautionary comment, since they're over the transit and the buses, if I do get hit by a bus, please consider.
It'll be noted.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to propose motion here.
So the motion that I'm asking for is to approve the position and jobs description for the assistant county administrator, have staff prepare a supplemental budget to affect this additional position for the remainder of fiscal year 2024.
So do you have that, Valerie? Because that is my motion.
Let's see, let me double check.
I can restate it if you need.
That was in the...
Yes,
it's, yeah, it's in the cover sheet. We're good.
Okay.
That's your motion. I'll second that.
We've been seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Bart.
Okay. Next up would be a 5G is a ERP system consulting services. And Kevin, I'll give us that report.
Morning, Commissioners.
How are you doing?
All right. This is really best probably characterized as a consolidation and change of scope of some projects that were considered in the current fiscal year's budget. In the recommendation memo that I drafted that's attached, identified what those projects were. There was a couple of enhancements to our financial and accounting system to take some of the manual, repetitive nature out of the day-to-day work and accounts payable and streamline those processes a little bit. The HRIS, the Human Resources Information System, that we use for managing employees and processing payroll. And then a content management system that supports both of those and other modules and systems within that. Those were originally considered as kind of independent projects, and as we've investigated and taken a look, we found some pretty significant issues with making any updates or enhancements to our current financial software. They don't make updates and enhancements to it anymore. We would have to upgrade. And when we learned that, really that changed the scope of the project, because it's not a simple upgrade of our accounting system. It's even to go to the next platform with our current vendor. It's a complete implementation of the system. And rather than assume that that's the direction that we want to go, and given the consideration of, you know, making sure that whatever we do in the finance and accounting area is also going to be compatible with our HR and payroll processing, felt like we needed to take a step back and broaden the scope of this a little bit, and consider rather than a simple upgrade or a module or enhancement to something existing, to an assessment of, you know, what we really have at the in the accounting department and in the HR department, and really other areas and departments across the county where we maybe don't have systems today, or where we're just doing a significant amount of duplication of effort and processes, you know, between the finance and other departments of the county. So, really, it's taking an enterprise approach to technology planning for those core systems and that, you know, underlie all of the core functions, administrative functions of the county. I went into more detail on all of that in my recommendation memo. I've done two enterprise system projects, and you know, multiple implementations of other, you know, large systems. But the thing that I've learned from that, and especially with given the complexity of the county, it's best to consult the experts. And so the time investment is significant, and it's no longer, you know, something that we would expect to have done and completed and implemented by the end of this fiscal year. Rather, it's likely to be, you know, we may have a you know, system selection done by the end of the year and then implementation over the following 12 to 18 months. So given that, you know, the current year budget that we had for those other projects, plus some consulting budget funds that I have in the accounting department, they're adequate to cover the cost of this first year. But since the scope has really changed, wanted to bring it back to the board and kind of outline what those changes to the scope are and what the potential, you know, duration of such a project would be. So that's the synopsis, I guess. If there's questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Can you kind of talk about how on down, you know, the different departments would be able to use this?
So currently, and I certainly don't want to, there's you know, different departments have a need for tracking expenditures at a really fine level of detail. And so in some cases, and we discovered this, you know, when we were going around with our auditors and actually viewing and observing these processes, you know, they're essentially receiving invoices within a department and entering it into a spreadsheet or a different system or module, basically the same exact work that our accounts payable clerk does. And then they're sending it on to the finance department, where we do the exact same thing with that information, and, you know, and then enter it in and process it. But, you know, we process it for payment. I can tell you that across the county, the amount of time that's spent on that is significant. You know, some departments may spend, you know, several hours to a day a week, you know, doing something like that. That's just one example. The payment receiving and processing of payments, that's another example. Pretty much any department that receives any payments across the county where it's processed, you know, payments are received, entered into one system, go to the county treasurer, and she spends hours to days inputting that same information into this system. So, and I guess that's something I want to touch on too. Is you know, although the end result will be there, there will be you know, a change of our accounting and core ERP system for these functions. It may not be in all cases, you know, that's what, you know, gets deployed at each department of the county. It may be that there's a, you know, the system and the software that they're using is perfectly fine for what they need, but we can set up what's called integrations that automate the transfer of information between our general ledger and whatever that other system is in that department. Again, And Jaylene can certainly attest to the amount of time that, you know, she spends entering data, essentially, and posting it when that's already all been done at the point of payment receipt. I can go on with more examples, but
there's... No, my follow-up question, I guess, follow-up question is, for instance, the money coming from the federal government for the water, you know, we're in charge of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I say we, you, the county. Okay. And so we're sitting here talking about anticipating more, probably even more complex, more money. Now this system will fit in with that, right? And help you in that?
Yes, and so that's another, and like I said, we can go into a long discussion about all the details, but the grant accounting and project accounting, if you recall, I implemented an upgrade to enable project accounting in our current system, and I can tell you it meets the requirements barely. There's still a lot of spreadsheets and a lot of going back and correcting entries and adjusting journal entries, and this stuff just takes, you know, hours and days to do. And you know, anytime we can't capture something correctly at the point of the transaction, we have to go back and redo it or pull that information and make corrections. Increases likelihood of errors, and you know, as Matt mentioned, we're lean, and that's part of the reason why, you know, we're behind on a lot of stuff in accounting is.
Well, we get
putting the
federal. It's federal. Now we get federal money. We get state money for water, help with the water, mm-hmm. correct? Is the federal more complex than the state, or is
yes?
Is it pretty? That's what I've been
yes.
hearing from the horses.
It is, yeah. So the financial assistant management policy that was adopted by the board a few months ago, i.e., the grants policy, most of that 46 pages was a distillation of the requirements of federal funding and the expenditure of federal funding. It is extremely complex. This particular EPA grant is even more complex than what I've dealt with federal funding. So, it's burdensome. You know, there's some, and I'm not suggesting this, but there's some entities that do a pretty rigorous analysis on whether or not they it's even beneficial to accept funds, and it has to be over a certain threshold because of the added administrative costs that we don't get reimbursed for. So.
Chair.
Yes.
Just to echo, we're working in the Stone Age grant right now with our current systems. I went down and talked with Mindy yesterday because she has to come in on Christmas to process everybody's timesheets because she has to do it in, collect it in the current system that's going to be antiquated and no longer serviced anymore, and then re-entered into another system manually. That is something that takes hours of her time that literally should be about a 10-minute click confirmation to do. We're wasting money there, and I have an employee coming in on Christmas Day to make sure everybody gets paid because otherwise that would be a Christmas surprise for them the next Friday. Additionally, I have never been in a government that doesn't have monthly financial statements available, where it's giving us a year-to-date expenses. You get what's spent, but we don't have financial statements. That makes it so Kevin and I really can't do our jobs. Or we can't go to a department and say, you're running 20% ahead and it's only November. What's going on? I don't have a clear picture to be able to call people out on those things in my department heads. That means we're not as fiscally responsible as we should be. No reflection on Kevin because he's doing incredible work and doing it, but everything to get, I mean, and the reason why is because we have all these different systems and there's nothing that can communicate and take care of it. And so this effort, while we had finance and HR budgeted to do kind of their own updates, this would allow us to have a system that runs it all and would be able to give you as an elected body and residents of our county more up-to-date financial information and let me hold our departments, employees, and responsible for where's this project at, where's, you know, why, you know, maybe not counting the toilet paper, but yeah, our supplies are really high. How come? Oh, you bought it for the whole year? That's great. you know, and right now I cannot do that.
Yeah, and you know, Jeff's probably familiar with these enterprise-wide systems, you know, with his work, but I think it's important that the public hears this from both of you, that the improvements you're making, why you're doing it. So that's one of the reasons I like it.
They might get more information than they want to deal with by the time this thing gets in.
So I'm getting this just going to streamline everything, right? It's going to save time. It's going to save handling of information. I mean, every time a group has to handle information, there's a chance for error, right?
Yes.
So if you can take three steps out of that, you've removed three chances for a mistake.
Yes. In other organizations where I've been a part of or led similar projects like this, one of the things that I really emphasize is the cost benefits. I want to underscore streamline and improve processes doesn't necessarily mean a cost benefit. We're lean and we have a lot of people doing redundant data entry tasks and shuffling paper when they could be spending that time doing more value-added activities that make use of their intelligence and their particular skill set that they've got rather than entering data into a spreadsheet or into two different systems. Some organizations, you can streamline stuff to the point where you can eliminate positions and save money on personnel. My gut feeling in Morrill County, as Administrator Jensen said, we're lean, and it just helps us keep up to date on things. So I wouldn't characterize it as a cost savings, but definitely process streamlining improvement. Yeah.
Efficiency improvement.
Yeah. And lack of potential issues with too many people handling the same information.
Right. And the other thing I really want to emphasize is the change in approach. Systems and like what gets used in public works might be a duplicate of what we're using to some degree in the finance office, and that's not efficient. Typically, there's no integration, no interconnection between systems at Morrill County, period. That's unusual in today's day and age. So this approach, and by taking a step back and taking an enterprise look at things and having a consultant come in and do an assessment of our processes and our actual needs, is a real change in how that's been deployed historically with the county, where it's been very siloed by department. This is my department, I'm going to pick my thing, and this is my department over here, I'm going to pick this thing over here. So there may be some changes difficult, and also that's one of the other things that this consulting firm can provide is help with some of that change management to help folks recognize the benefits of perhaps streamlining and because it's not a painless process. It's a painful process once you start the implementation, but once you're on the other side of it, it's much better.
I hope the contractor can alleviate some of that pain too. That's what they're supposed to do, isn't it?
Yep, that's the idea.
If they've been there and done that and seen people wrestle with making the transition, make it easy as possible, I guess.
Yeah.
So, any other questions of Kevin?
No. So I'll move to direct staff to proceed with the project as presented.
I'll second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
Okay, that concludes our business items. Now we're going to move into department reports. And we've got Bobby's here. Hey.
Hey.
What